I just want to ask the congressman a question. Did you ever figure out who the buses belong to?
So let's talk logistics for a second. And what Renee is referencing, so our listeners can get an understanding of it. There are a lot of buildings in Washington, D.C. that need card clearance to get a vehicle in the parking lot underneath the building. There are also Department of Transportation markings that should be on every bus, every mass transit licensed commercial vehicle, which means that if we have video of buses with no markings and buses in certain buildings, that there should be certain requirements for them to have those. Correct, Caleb?
Unless they have placards.
So,
which you can have a placard which would override your DOT markings and give you temporary access to a location.
So let's and this is a question that legitimately for the congressman, there were, and I'm going to put the word rumors around it. I don't know that it's rumors, but I'm going to put the word rumor because I didn't see it. I haven't seen the evidence. I don't know. In the most surveilled city on the planet, though, the rumor is that there were buses that were bringing people in that did not have DOT markings and ended up being parked in buildings that needed high security clearance access in order for them to get them in. Is that the type of infrastructure that we're talking about here?
Right. Well, we know what we know. And that's the way investigations roll. So what was initially revealed to me through a whistleblower was that two buses had been documented. Some things I can't go too deeply into, but
digitally
documented, and we had access to that initial digital evidence. It showed two buses that were brought into the bus parking basement of the train station. There's Grand Central, right? What's it?
Yeah, the train station, Washington, D.C. Yeah, the main station.
Yeah, because sometimes I get it confused with the one in New York. But the point is, this is where the buses were parking for J6, who were coming in from all over the country. And two buses were parked under there that were there first. And these buses had been painted over white. So all of the markings, the telephone numbers, the company names, they didn't have placards on them. It was spray painted white. And it was like a cheap paint job because some of the stuff you could still see through. It was a fast paint job. And you could still see some of the markings, original lettering and everything. So if you're in the charter bus business, first of all, you know, to get access down there, you have to have a license and permit. Somebody had to drive it there. And these buses have a legal requirement to display a lot of things. All their owner, the contact data for the owner, telephone numbers, the business name, the DOTD permit numbers, the state permit numbers, all that stuff has got to be on that bus. A license plate, everything has to be displayed according to the law. On these two buses, none of that was displayed. In fact, it was covered up. And on these buses, it's estimated by the number of seats on the bus and the eyewitnesses that came forward and digital documentation, there were 35 to 40 occupants on a bus, and on each bus. So you're talking about, 75, 80 people. And they were all dressed as Trump supporters. They were all military-age young men, military-age men. They were all stout. They were all geared similarly. In that they were wearing tactical gear, but it didn't match, and including various types of helmets and things, but there were no like hippie helmets. There were no bicycle helmets, you understand?
Right.
So these were like legit modern tactical, helmets and gear and ballistic vests and tactical vests and and you know, knee and elbow guards, and these guys were young badasses. They all got off the bus at the same time, and they had a bit of a gathering in front of the two buses, like a military type gathering, and they all walked to the escalators at Union Station. Union Station. I said Grand Central earlier. It was Union Station. They went up to the escalator to go up to Union Station, and they exited. So that's what my investigation began with. What we were able to do to answer the gentleman's question was we used forensic analysis of the digital evidence that I was initially presented with, and we were able to identify 8 numbers and a telephone number that had been painted over. And we started searching for charter companies. Obviously, this bus had belonged to somebody. So if you could trace what was the origin of the bus in America, you know, sales of serial numbered vehicles, motor vehicles, are tracked quite effectively, state to state. And you can't just go sell your car and register it. Nobody knows. Trust me, we can track that.
You got to pay your tax.
Prior owner. So you track sales.
Yeah.
If you sell something at auction, there's a record of that. So especially something like a charter bus, they fall under even deeper regulations than just your passenger vehicle at your house. So we got a hit. We got a hit on the bus. The original owner. We were able to identify, let me say, the owner that belonged to that telephone number that we positively identified. Once we suspected what the other two numbers were by getting a hit on a charter bus service in New York, then we were able to forensically look at, yep, those are those two remaining numbers. So we have identified that owner. So now we know where the buses were on the morning of January 6th, which, by the way, those buses were abandoned in Union Station parking lot.
So
me now.
So someone abandons two buses that are worth $75,000 a piece?
That's right.
Oh,
it left the buses more
than $75,000.
They left the buses in Union Station. They were still there the following day. We don't know what happened to them because I don't run the FBI, man. You know, I'm run a congressional office and a committee. You got to go and investigate. You got to capture that video evidence, interview those officers that were working, find out who was present, who can testify, who did what with the two buses that were abandoned that were still there the next morning. We know from eyewitness they were still there the next morning.
Wow.
The place was empty. They were the first ones there on J6, the morning of the J6. They were there before 5:20 because that's what time, 5:20 in the morning, that's what time my first eyewitness identifies. He thought it was odd. Somebody beat him there. So those two buses were already there at 5:20 in the morning on J6. And the following morning at 10 o'clock, they were the only buses left. They were the first buses in the parking lot. They were abandoned, and they were last buses there after J6 on J7. What happened to them after that, I don't know. I can't tell you because I don't run an investigative force with a large staff of investigators. You understand? I'm one congressman, man, doing my best.